time for Swan Soap. Four in one soap.
This is Paul Luther bringing you Bright Horizon for Swan, the really new white floating soap. And friends,
here's a contest for money. Come on, it's a honey. Just name Mama Swan. You'll have in hand a brand new 20 grand if you name Mama Swan. So here's a surprise if you want. Take your prize in a full $100 each month of your life. Oh, boy, boy, what a life if you name Mama Swan.
More about Swan's big contest later. But now, friends, ever think about the future when you'll be able to just press a button and all your housework will be done for you? Well, just think how nice and smooth your hands would stay. Well, we may not have electric buttons to do our housework for us, but we do have something that helps keep our hands pretty while we work. Yes, I mean gentle, sudsy Swan. Because with Swan, dishes and duds are done quick as a wink. Swan is baby mild for everything. Swan is pure as fine Castile. And now, Bright Horizon brought to you by Swan Soap. In the little house in Cedar Glen to which Michael West moved his family last month, the past few days have been happy and exciting ones. For in addition to Michael's promising future with a large law firm, Chicago has brought his niece, Barbara, an opportunity to forward her career. She is to sing at the Golden Door, the famous Chicago nightclub. And last night, with her debut only 24 hours away, the evening was a gay and expectant one for all the family, until a choking, strangled cry sent Carol hurrying to baby Michael's room to find the 21-month-old child gasping, panic-stricken, in an illness which she could only guess was croup. Frantic and uncertain, they phoned the doctor and entered on an anxious midnight vigil awaiting his arrival. Now it is the following morning. In the upstairs hall, Barbara stands waiting silently as Carol tiptoes from the baby's room and quietly, carefully closes the door.
How is he now, Aunt Carol?
He's gone back to sleep again. He took his orange juice and went back to sleep almost at once.
Oh, poor little Tad.
His temperature's down a little this morning. If he can just get some rest today without any more of those coughing spells. Whew. Come on, darling, let's go down and get some breakfast.
Did you get any sleep at all last night?
No, not much, but I'm all right as long as he's all right.
I never knew croup could be as bad as that.
Thank goodness Dr. Clark got here when he did and showed us how to fix that croup tent. Has Michael gone yet?
I don't think so. I didn't hear him leave. Michael?
Yes, honey, I'm in the dining room.
What was it you put in the water to make the steam smell so piney in the croup tent?
Oh, that was creosote. Certainly makes the whole house smell, doesn't it?
Oh, yes.
How is he now, Carol?
He's sleeping, darling, thank goodness. Are you getting enough breakfast?
Yes, Ethel May has fixed me up fine. Well, Pumpkins, how did you like last night?
I just wish there had been something I could have done to help. Sit down, Aunt Carol. I'll tell Ethel May we're here.
I don't want anything except fruit juice and coffee, dear, and that's right here on the table.
Now, you've got to eat something, Carol. You can't go without sleep and food both.
I'm down, Ethel May. Will you put an egg on for me?
Tell her to put one on for Carol, too, Barbara.
And one for Mrs. West, too. She's here now.
Do you like more coffee, dear? There's plenty here.
No, thanks. I still have half cup.
I'll have a cup of coffee this morning if there's enough, Aunt Carol.
Of course, dear. Ethel May always makes enough in case you do want any.
Carol, are you sure you ought not to try to get a nurse in?
No, Michael, we don't need one, really. Dr. Clark told me everything to do, and that was all I needed, just to know what was the right thing to do and how to do it.
Well, I'll be glad to stay with the baby while you get some sleep this morning if you want, Aunt Carol.
You'd better take things easy today yourself, Barbara.
Yes, Pumpkins. Weren't you supposed to get a long rest last night? So you'd be set and ready for this evening?
Oh, I got a lot of sleep. Really, I did.
Oh, Barbara.
Yes?
I'm afraid this spoils the little party we planned at the Golden Door tonight, dear. Dr. Clark says these croup attacks may recur for the next couple of nights, and so I just can't think of leaving the house.
Of course not. I wouldn't want you to. And you don't have to come in tonight either, Uncle Michael.
Well, I do hate to leave Carol here to go through any more of those croup spasms alone,
oh,
with little Mickey.
Darling, of course you must go in. We can't let Barbara make her professional debut without some member of the family there.
But what about you, Aunt Carol? You shouldn't be here alone.
I won't be alone. Ethel May will be here, and I'd feel much happier knowing that Michael's there with you.
Honest, Carol?
Honestly, darling, please go.
Well, all right. Let's see, Pumpkins. We said we'd meet Steve at the Golden Door at 8 o'clock, didn't we?
Yes. That means you ought to take the 7:20 train in from here.
If we could get away from the office a little... If you could get away a little early, darling, you'd have time to get dressed before our regular 6:30 dinner, and then you could make that train quite easily.
I might be able to get away by 4:30 or 4:45. I can't tell yet.
Oh, I don't think I'm going to be very interested in dinner anyhow, so if you can't come out early, you can skip dinner here and eat at the club between 8 and 9.
Mm-hmm. We'll work it somehow. Well, it's time I was going. See you later, Pumpkins.
Right.
Bye, Carol. I hope everything goes okay here today.
I'll go to the door with you, dear.
Good. Dr. Clark said he'd stop in again about 2, didn't he?
Yes, between 2 and 2:30.
You'd better call me as soon as he's been here, just to tell me what he says.
All right, darling. But don't worry. Little Michael's going to be all right.
Well, I will worry about him, so be sure you call, will you?
Sure. And Michael, thank you for being you last night.
Huh?
I don't know what I would have done if you hadn't been there, darling.
I thought I was just about the height of uselessness. Couldn't even remember a decent lullaby to sing the kid.
I think all my life I'll remember you sitting in that chair, rocking him and singing, "Bury Me Not on the Lone Prairie."
Yes. Swell choice, wasn't it, under the circumstances? Nice and cheerful.
He liked it, and that's what counts. Here, let me help you with the coat.
Thanks. Try and get some rest today, darling, won't you?
Yes, darling. Bye-bye.
Bye, honey.
Oh, darling, stop at the drugstore and get another bottle of creosote, will you? The one the doctor left us will be almost empty by tonight.
A bottle of creosote?
Mm-hmm.
I thought the only thing they used that for was to paint fence posts. Being a parent saintly is an education, isn't it, honey?
I'll say it is. Bye, darling.
Your egg is done, Aunt Carol.
All right, dear. Now, Barbara, what's your schedule for the day?
Well, going in on a 12:30 train is a rehearsal with the orchestra from 1 to 2.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be back here by 3, so I can help look after Mikey this morning or this afternoon from 3 until 6.
Oh, darling, you better not plan to think about Mikey or me this afternoon. When you come back from your rehearsal, you better lie down and take a nap. It's going to be more of a strain than you think tonight.
Well, we'll see how I feel and how things are when I get back from rehearsal.
Is that you, Barbara?
Yes, Aunt Carol. I'm back. How's the baby?
He's had a pretty good day. Dr. Clark says it's only simple croup and that he should be out of the woods by day after tomorrow, certainly.
Oh, that's grand. I'm so glad, Aunt Carol.
How did the rehearsal go, darling?
Oh, beautifully.
Good.
I'm really getting awfully excited about it now, Aunt Carol.
Of course you are. Now, why don't you go upstairs and lie down?
Don't you want me to sit with Mikey?
No, he's asleep, and I'll hear him if he wakes up. It's funny how a child's illness can sharpen your ears.
Especially when it's your baby. Well, I think I'll go up to my room, Aunt Carol. I don't feel much like lying down, but I do want to write a letter to Bing. I sort of hoped I'd hear from him today.
It's too bad you didn't, darling. That would have been the nicest present you could get on your opening night, wouldn't it?
Yes. But I guess that's just too much to hope for. Bing, my dearest, it's 3 o'clock in the afternoon now, and in just 6 hours, I shall be singing for the first time at the Golden Door. It doesn't seem quite possible that the day is actually here so soon. And it won't be quite the night we planned, because Aunt Carol can't be there. There'll just be Uncle Michael and Steve Kirby. I wish, more than I have wished anything before, that you could be there, too. Do you mind if I pretend you are there, darling? It's such a big nightclub, and there'll be so many strangers there. I'll just pretend that one of them, whose face I can't see, is you. Won't that make me more lonesome for you? Anyway, I'll really be singing for you more than any of them tonight. Because I miss you so.
Barbara, dear.
Oh, yes, Aunt Carol?
A very imposing-looking Thorpe truck just left this box for you.
Oh.
And a very imposing-looking box, if I may say so.
Gee, it's huge. Oh, let me open it.
Don't try to break that string, dear.
Wait a minute. I'll get the scissors. Never had to get a big box of flowers in my life.
Now, take your time. Beautiful.
Yellow tea roses. I know who those are from without even looking. They're from Skeen.
And so many of them. Well, there must be at least 2 dozen.
Oh, aren't they the loveliest things you ever saw? But why do you suppose he sent them out here to the house?
Barbara, look, there's something else in there, a package.
What? Oh, let's see.
Unwrap it, dear, and let's see what it is.
It's a jeweler's box. Carol, look. A rhinestone clip.
Why, Barbara.
Steve must have heard me talking to Mr. McKinney about needing one. Oh, isn't it a beauty?
There's a card in the box with it, isn't there?
Read it, Aunt Carol.
Loads of luck, Steve.
Oh, Aunt Carol, he shouldn't have done it.
No, darling, he certainly shouldn't.
But it is stunning, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
But it's too much for you to accept from Steve. In all fairness to him, you ought to give it back.
Oh, Aunt Carol.
Don't you think so?
Friends, take a name.
A sentence.
And the wrapper from a cake of flan. Put them together and you may win $100 a month for life. It's as easy as 1, 2, 3. 1.
Think of a first name for Mama Swan.
2.
Finish this sentence in 25 words or less. I like Swan soap better because...
3.
Mail your entry with a Swan wrapper and your Swan dealer's name to Swan, Box 23, New York 8, New York.
Yes, just think. Do those 3 simple things and you may win $100 a month for life or $20,000 cash. A prize that can end money worries for you forever. And they can buy you a home of your own, too.
And, Grace, besides the grand prize, there are 506 other cash prizes, too.
Right, Paul. So, remember, think of a first name for Mama Swan. Finish the sentence, I like Swan soap better because... And mail them with a Swan wrapper to Swan, Box 23, New York 8, New York. Friends, this is Grace Russell again. And I want to ask you to stay by your radio just another moment, because Michael and Carol want to come back to talk to you about something so important to all of us. They'll come back to the microphone not as Carol and Michael, but as their real selves, Joan Alexander and Richard Calmer, two people who want very much to talk to you about the 6th war loan. And here they are.
Well, friends, this is the time to open our pocketbooks to help our boys again. But it isn't just our pocketbooks. It's our hearts we're opening up to the boys during the 6th war loan. Isn't that right, Joan?
Yes, Dick. When we buy a bond, we're not just buying a gun that shoots or a plane that flies. We may be buying life for those boys, or health. Or we may help buy a trip back home days, weeks, or months sooner than otherwise.
That's worth buying, friends, isn't it? So let's keep in mind that the war isn't over yet. There's many an anxious mother or wife thinking of the dangers some boy is facing and hoping for his safe return.
So until every boy in your neighborhood is back home for keeps, keep buying bonds. And be sure, be especially sure, that you buy an extra $100 bond during the 6th war loan drive.
Bright Horizon is brought to you by the makers of Swan, the soap that's pure as fine Castiles. That's Swan, S-W-A-N, Swan soap. Now, about that vitamin product you're taking. Does it contain any minerals? Them's do, you know. Iron needed for good red blood. Calcium, phosphorus for strong bones, teeth, body tissue. Also, all vitamins doctors say are essential in the diet. So get VIMS, V-I for vitamins, double M-S for minerals. This is Paul Luther inviting you to join us again tomorrow and every day, Monday through Friday, over this same station and at the same time for further chapters in our story of Bright Horizons. This is CBS, the Columbia Broadcasting System.